Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The last time I had my next guest in the studio with me was back in December of 2022, and at that time she had just had gastric band surgery to help her meet her target weight in preparation for a preventative double mastectomy. Why? Because she and her family carry the BRCA1 gene, which puts them at a higher risk of cancer. Well, I'm very happy to say that Sarah McAvinci is on the other side of all of that surgery now and joins me here in the studio. It's lovely to have you back.
Great to be back, Claire. Thanks for having me.
And you look great.
Thank you.
You look
Thanks
happy and
much.
You're smiling.
Thank you.
But you've had a bit of a rough road since we last spoke.
Absolutely. It's been a mad couple of years. Obviously, when I was here last, I was just recovering from my gastric bypass and getting ready for my double mastectomy. So I had that in November 2023, and it was quite an intense recovery after that.
And this all came from the fact that you discovered that you carried this gene.
Yes, I did indeed. So my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, and we found out it was genetic a couple of months later. So the BRCA1 gene gives us an 85% chance of developing breast cancer and a 60 to 65% chance of developing ovarian cancer.
It's a huge risk not to do it.
You wouldn't get on a plane with those odds.
Yeah. So you faced it head on, and you got to the point where the gastric band surgery was necessary. Mm-hmm. What was that like, the aftermath of that for you?
I suppose it wasn't my favourite thing in the world to do. I am a larger person. I've always been quite body positive and never really wanted to go into something as drastic as weight loss surgery. But to get the preventative mastectomy, I had to lose, I think it was 5 or 6 stone that the doctors had kind of been telling me. And I was never, as I said, I'm naturally a bigger person. I was never going to be able to do that, all too easily myself. So I went for the bypass, and it was an adjustment. It was a strange one to come out the other side. But ultimately, you just have to kind of make, you know, better choices and eat a bit better and just smaller amounts.
But it got you to where you needed to be so you could have that surgery done.
Yes, absolutely. The most important thing was getting the mastectomy done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
It was one of the best things I've ever done, which is such a strange thing to say. It was a really intense surgery. I think I was under anaesthetic for 7 or 8 hours altogether. So basically it was the removal of my breast tissue by a breast surgeon and then the reconstruction of my breast by a plastic surgeon using tissue from my lower abdomen. Mm.
That was a decision you made to use your own tissue?
To use my own tissue, yeah. It's more natural than the silicone implants, but also your body's more likely to accept your own tissue than silicone. But also silicone you need to replace usually every 15 to 20 years. Whereas this way I touch wood, won't have to go back in at all. They'll just be like this for life now.
Yeah. Did you have any wobbles about your decision in the lead up to it, or how did you get your head ready for what was coming?
To be honest with you, I was more excited just to get it done and over with than anything else. I suppose the thought of a longer surgery was a bit kind of, you know, scary, and then the recovery I was told was going to be quite brutal. So I was kind of nervous about that. But the actual surgery itself, the decision to get the double mastectomy, I made when I was 13 and I found out it was genetic. And I said, if I have this, you know, predisposition, I'm getting rid of them. I'm getting them gone. Mm-hmm. So from the point I got my date, if my surgeon had said, come in to me tomorrow and we'll do it straight away, I would have ran at the opportunity.
Yeah, it wasn't a simple recovery, though, for you, was it?
No, it was a quite long one. Thankfully, I didn't have any major complications. But, I mean, My lower abdomen tissue, as I said, was used, but I have a hip-to-hip scar the whole way along the front of my lower abdomen. So that really took a lot of recovery time in terms of, you know, just being able to move again, just being able to get up out of a chair, get up out of the bed. Funnily enough, even though most of the work was done on my top half, that those scars weren't as, didn't impede me as much. It was kind of the one at my abdomen that was a bit more painful and a bit difficult to kind of get through. But I mean, you're talking 6 to 8 weeks. I wasn't driving. I was kind of, my little walks were just up and down the hall in the house,
right.
You know.
You weren't thinking to yourself, Jesus, I should have gone for the silicone, you know, to avoid the scar.
There was one point where I went, wow, this better be worth it. But coming out the other side, I was. And honestly, I was waited on hand and foot by my lovely family. So it was really nice.
Yeah, I mean, that is really good to have. You'd absolutely have to have that support.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I'm very lucky.
In
very
the
lucky.
Aftermath. And then in terms of how you feel, like, given that this was on your mind since you were 13 and you've had the surgery now, how do you feel about your decision, or how has it changed how you feel about yourself and your future?
Yeah, it's the best thing I've ever done for myself. And I would recommend anybody in the same boat with such a high risk to really look into preventative surgery, because before the surgery, I had 8 scares over the course of my kind of 20s of different lumps that presented, and they'd have to be ultrasound, biopsy, you know, the nervousness of waiting for results. And it just takes out weeks and weeks and weeks of your life. And I used to think about, you know, every single day, at least once, if not 5 or 6 times, what if I get sick, and what if this happens, and, you know, if I have chemo, I'll lose all my hair, and I have a really big head, I'm going to look weird bald, and, you know, all of these, you know, you kind of just spiral in your head about all of these different things. Whereas now I go to bed not even worrying. I don't think about it at all. And it is, when I say, you know, a weight lifted off my shoulder, I felt it as soon as I woke up on the ward after, and I went, okay, we're done. We're okay now. Yeah.
You had a scare just before the surgery, is that right? With a lump, suspected problem.
A suspected problem. And there's kind of 2 sides of it. So again, because I'm a larger person, I'm kind of more prone to getting like little lumpy bits or whatever. But then because of my genetic predisposition, I have to get everything checked. And as I say, it takes weeks out of your life to get the appointments, to get the ultrasound, biopsy results, all that kind of stuff. And the worry is just insane. And I was kind of going, oh my goodness, I've waited this long. I have my date for surgery. What if it all goes wrong before then, now, you know? But thankfully, it was all clear. So.
And you have people in your family who've been through this surgery before you. Was that helpful, did you find?
Yes, absolutely. You know, my mum had cancer, as I said, and she went through all of the cancer related surgeries and then reconstruction surgeries. But my auntie, so her 4 sisters all tested positive for the BRCA1 mutation. So they have all had preventative surgeries as well, kind of through my teenage years, I suppose. I kind of watched them go through it. So it kind of gave me a little bit of comfort. They all went kind of the silicone route, but it kind of gave me a little bit of comfort to know, okay, they did it. They're fine, you know. They were all mums with young kids running around the place, and they were able to do it. So if I was going home to, you know, my dog and to be looked after by my mum and dad and my siblings, I was going to be absolutely fine. So
yeah, I suppose that you never really know what something is like until you go through it yourself. Your sister then, she's preparing to have this done too, because she's in the same situation.
Yeah. So unfortunately, my sister tested positive for the mutation as well. But I mean, she's an absolute like force to be reckoned with. She'll take this in her stride. I'd say she's still a few years away from it. So I'm about 4 or 5 years her senior. So she's still a little while off getting it done. But I suppose seeing me go through it, she kind of knows what to expect. And
she went along with you for some of the appointments, did she?
Yeah. So Mr. Jamie Martin Smith is my surgeon, and he is a wizard. He's absolutely amazing. And the first time I went to meet him, Grania and my mum came with me. And we all sort of were very close, but we were all sort of answering each other's questions. And, oh, Grania wants this and Sarah thinks this. And mum was kind of going, I was a nurse in Bowman 30 years ago. You know, we were just absolutely chaotic. And he sat there and he said, OK, we're never doing this again. One at a time from now on. But it's great, though, that, you know, we have that that continuance of care, and we all have the same surgeon then. So he knows us. He knows our family, and checks in with us regularly and stuff like that. So it's great that she knows who will be dealing with her when her time comes.
How closely will you be monitored now, Sarah?
So I have officially been discharged from the plastic surgery side of things just 2 weeks ago, which is incredible. And then I'm actually going later on today. I'm in the breast clinic in Bowman just once a year. There is very little, if any, breast tissue left in my body at all. But again, it's just they like to take an extra precaution once a year. I just go for a little exam and out the door. If anything does arise for me, I'm straight in the door. They've me top of the list. I can get checked. I can get looked after straight away. But I can't envisage that happening.
Right, because you're in the system now. So if anything happens, and hopefully it won't. You said you were discharged from the plastic surgery 2 weeks ago. And
yes.
That was because you had another surgery in November.
I did indeed. So I had my nipple reconstruction in November, which is not anything I thought I would ever say on national radio. But
there you go. First for everything.
First for everything. But yeah, so I had the nipple reconstruction. Never even crossed my mind, to be honest with you. And then when it came down to talk about it, Jamie, my surgeon, was kind of going, you can get this done. Everything else has gone well. No complications. When you look down, you'll see what any other woman sees when she sees her breasts. And I said, you know what? Well, why not go all in? I've done everything else. I may as well do the last hurdle. So
I would have thought that would happen when you had the initial plastic surgery, no?
Well, you see, there has to be a lot of recovery, first of all. So my nipples were removed in the first surgery completely because there's breast tissue on them. And I kind of thought, if I'm going in to get rid of this scary, you know, chance of getting breast cancer, I may as well get rid of everything that could cause it.
So it was an option to retain your own nipples,
option to retain. And then it's funny, because I'd had the gastric bypass, and, you know, your breasts change when you lose weight and things like that. So if I'd have kept my nipples, not only would I have, you know, still kept a little bit of a risk with me, but also God knows which way they would have been pointing with the weight loss and everything and the new shape that they are now. So I just got rid of them. Better safe than sorry. And got the reconstruction then in November. So back to normal almost.
But it's hard to go back for another surgery when you've been through the major one, is it?
I was a bit kind of nervous. I was like, there was a part of me that had kind of said, oh, I thought I was done. You know, I thought I was finished with this. But it, to be honest with you, it was more of a cosmetic change to me. You know, it wasn't the life-saving part. It was just the cosmetic kind of, you know, look and feel like a woman type part, which is important and which is something that I, you know, didn't really think about because I was so focused on getting rid of the danger that was in my body. But now going forward, like I'm 31 now and, you know, I would have spent the rest of my life maybe, you know, with just kind of no nipples or no nothing. So now it kind of just makes me feel a little bit normal again, which is nice. Yeah.
You're somebody who I would imagine grabs life with both hands anyway. That's the type of energy that you have. Is there any sense with you, though, that life starts now in a way because that worry is gone?
Absolutely. As I said, like the daily worry and the daily spiraling and, you know, the anxiety is gone. And I am just, I can travel. I can move anywhere I want to move. I can, don't worry, mum and dad, I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, if I wanted to, I would. But, you know, I always said I have to stay near my doctors. What if I get a lump? What if I get something? And now the world is my oyster. And I'm so excited. And I've never felt better in my own body, both physically, you know, I feel really good, but mentally as well. I just feel confident that it's not going to betray me because it was always me versus my body, whereas now we're a package deal now and I'm happy with it.
You're qualified to give advice to people who are in this similar situation, who found that they carry the BRCA gene. What do you say to them?
Well, first of all, I say take some time to really understand what the BRCA mutation means and what it is and what effect it could have on you. It's different, you know, men versus women, people who are planning on having kids or otherwise. So just take some time to really understand it all. I have had quite a few people reach out to me kind of just through my Instagram or whatever and kind of say, look, I'm terrified. What do you think?
Understandably.
What do I do? And I will never tell someone what to do, but I will always say, I feel better getting the preventative surgery. Because some people don't get it and they just monitor really closely, you know, for the rest of their lives, which is completely their decision. Surgery isn't for anyone. But what I would say, just from being the other side of it now, is the relief I feel and the lease of life that I feel now. It's a freedom almost. So it's definitely worth chatting to your loved ones and your doctors about it as an option, because it's a whole other life. Yeah.
Well, it's so good to catch up with you.
Thank
and
you so
see how
much.
You got on, and it's great to see you in such good form as well.
Thank
Sarah,
you.
Thanks for coming in. That's
thanks
Sarah
so
back at Vinci. We'll take a break, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.